In Matthew 28:19, Jesus implores the church to go and make disciples for God. He states, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Would it shock you then that a new Bible translation of Matthew 28:19 reads, "Cleanse them by water in the name of Allah, His Messiah, and His Holy Spirit"? Would it disturb you that the man who is perhaps the second most recognizable professed evangelical on the planet is now backtracking, dodging, and obfuscating about a pact made with Muslim leaders based on the premise that the Muslim Allah is just Jehovah God by a different name? What's going on here? Let me explain it. Evangelicals have been infiltrated by postmodern thought. The Bible has become at best secondary, as self-improvement gospels and change for the sake of getting along have overtaken God's standards of truth in many of our churches and in parachurch organizations. I'm Eric Barger, and today on Take a Stand Radio, we're going to examine these growing and disturbing controversies. Call a friend and stay tuned.
It's time to Take a Stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, my friends. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. I appreciate you joining me today. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Now, we're going to be in part two of our series dealing with Bible translations, and really, we've been in a long series dealing with Islam and Chrislam, and it's going to be more of the same but different information than we've given before. Remember, if I'm talking about it here on the radio, there is going to be more in-depth resources for all these topics on our website at ericbarger.com. That's ericbarger.com, E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com. Lots of documentation and information there on all of these different issues. First, let me get to this story that I alluded to in the opening. And if you receive my ministry updates, my email updates, then you've already seen much of this story. In fact, the Christian and secular media are buzzing about this. But here's part of the information we sent in the email update to our subscribers back on Saturday, March 3rd. And by the way, you can subscribe to our email updates and our newsletter by following the links at the bottom of any page at ericbarger.com. And if you use the button that mentions finding us through radio or TV that you're going to find at the top left of our homepage right underneath my picture, in addition to the newsletters and pamphlets and information we'll send, we'd be glad to also send you a free CD of one of my messages to help you to take a stand. And you'll find that again at ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com. Well, in that March 3rd email update, it was called Rick Warren, Islam and the Real Issue. Now, I realize the minute I mention Rick Warren, it causes a lot of people to have a lot of different emotions. You either love him or hate him, like him or don't. He is one of the most recognizable Christians on the planet. He has one of the biggest selling Christian books in history, The Purpose Driven Life. I've been well documented, and I have a document on our website, actually, 11 reasons why I believe The Purpose Driven Life is an unbiblical philosophy. And I realize there are a lot of people who disagree with me on this. But I want to read what I wrote in the March 3rd email update, and I'm just going to start read through part of this, not the whole thing, but at least part of it for you, to give you an idea of this controversy and the pickle that Dr. Warren finds himself in concerning all this. I wrote, "Many of you are aware that the internet and blogosphere are awash with information concerning Rick Warren Builds Bridges to Muslims, a story that ran on Thursday, February 23rd in the Orange County Register. The story was republished and reported on widely in both the Christian and secular press. Reporter Jim Hinch stated that, quote, Warren has embarked on an effort to heal divisions between evangelical Christians and Muslims by partnering with Southern California mosques and proposing a set of theological principles that includes acknowledging that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. The guidelines are called King's Way. Hinch went on and reported and said, Abraham Muhlenberg, a Saddleback pastor in charge of interfaith outreach, and Jihad Turk, director of religious affairs at a mosque in Los Angeles, introduced Kingsway as, quote, a path to end the 1,400 years of misunderstanding between Christians and Muslims. The man, it goes on, and I talk about the idea that this was a co-authored document that outlined the points of agreement between Islam and Christianity. And as Jim Hinch says in the article, the document quotes side-by-side verses from the Bible and the Quran to illustrate its claims. Turk went on, by the way, and told the Orange County Register, he said, "We agreed not to try to evangelize each other." And, of course, Rick Warren and his staff said that isn't true, but that's what the Muslim said in this particular article. Well, there's a lot more documentation here, but let me just read another little segment from my email. Again, I'm reading from my email. You can find a link to it on our homepage at ericbarger.com. In the left side, there's all the pertinent articles down the left side, and you'll be able to find much of the current stuff is there anyway. I go on and state, "Now, 9 days after the Orange County Register published the article, Rick Warren is denying most of the content and claiming that the many inaccuracies attributed to him in the article were the ideas of the reporter and not his own." Well, that's pretty far out to make that kind of a statement. Now, Rick Warren gave a long interview, kind of a rebuttal to this, to the Christian Post, and he published that at pastors.com as well. And in the rebuttal, he said, "Secular reporters trying to cover churches and theological issues often get it wrong." Well, the problem is Jim Hinch is not a secular reporter. He's a senior editor for Guidepost magazine. So Warren isn't dealing with a secular reporter. It might have been printed in a secular newspaper, but it's not a secular reporter. Now, I've been emailing several friends back and forth about this and giving information. And one of my colleagues emailed me yesterday and asked what I knew about it. He had not read my email yet. I scolded him for that, but we decided we'd get over it. At any rate, here's what I wrote today to a friend of ours who is also in apologetics and discernment and prophetic ministry. "Dr. Warren's rebuttal of the Orange County Register story," and I give him the web address where you can find it, and you'll find that on my website as well, "first appeared on the Christian Post," because they took the interview. They took part in the interview. "So it was for Christian consumption. So Dr. Warren came out and spoke to the Christian public trying to do damage control. That's what I believe." I go on in the email response to my colleague friend. I said, "Note that he never mentions the issue of the Kingsway document in the interview. So as Dr. Warren is trying to give a rebuttal to this whole thing, he never talks about the Kingsway document. He also never mentions the Saddleback policies in this particular article or interview he did as well. I haven't analyzed every word carefully, but it appears that he lays out a fairly orthodox position to the Christian Post, and that's not surprising. However, as I've been saying for some time, until he demands his name be removed from the Yale document that I mentioned in my email newsletter last weekend, he is saying one thing and he's doing another. Now we come to find out that the Kingsway document actually says that Christians and Muslims worship the same God." Now I have in front of me a printout of part of the Kingsway document. This is how it begins. Item number one in the Kingsway document, who we believe in. And then it says one God. It says God is one, and it gives a scripture from the book of Mark, Mark 12:29, and then a scripture from Surah 47 in the Quran. Then it says God is creator, Genesis 1:1, and it gives a scripture from Surah 42 in the Quran. God is different from the world, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, and then Surah chapter 6 is quoted. Then God is love, 1 John 4, and Surah 85 is quoted. God is just, 1 John 1, and then Surah 11 is quoted. So you get the picture. The Register story is based on phrases like same God and one God, and so Jim Hinch didn't pull anything out of context here. Rick Warren is trying to do damage control and claim that he really does believe in the triune God. However, what is going on is that we have people at Saddleback, other pastors, and we assume Dr. Warren himself, who are signing agreements with Muslims claiming that we all worship the same God. If there is any hobby horse that I have spoken to so many times, and I feel like a broken record in doing so, it's the idea that Jehovah is not Allah, and the Muslim Jesus, whose name is Isa, is not Jesus Christ. Isa is a different Jesus, Allah is a different God, and this is exactly what Paul warned us about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. A couple of passages I use all the time in dealing with this. So many Christians are so confused because Christian leaders have decided not to speak up or have thought it's too much trouble or that people couldn't understand it. But the truth is, Islam worships a different God than does Christianity, and we have to understand that. So I'm hoping that Dr. Warren will get it right. I'm hoping that he'll come out and admit that he was trying to skate around the issue. I doubt if we're going to hear that, but that's exactly what he was doing. He was skating on the side of the issue. He wasn't telling the whole truth. And I made the point in my emailer that Rick Warren called Jim Hinch a liar. And I don't want to say that about Dr. Warren. I wouldn't want to say that about another brother. But let's have the whole facts and the whole truth, and let's speak directly to the issue. So I'm calling on Saddleback Church to release the Kingsway document for the world to see. And just be honest about it. There are many people in postmodern Christianity who believe that Allah is Jehovah. There are many out there. And if they believe that, let the world know it. The problem is, if they do, many of us who understand what this issue is all about will speak about it and speak loudly about it. I know there's some out there that would just say, well, it's not that big a deal. You know, why are we arguing about this? It's just semantics. You know, it's just that Allah, Jehovah, you know, Allah is the Arabic word for God. And certainly there could be confusion about which God that the Muslims are talking about, but it's not that big a deal. But folks, it is a very big deal. Allah is not Jehovah, and the church has got to be solid on this. The church who cares about what the Word of God states, and the church who understands the issue, has got to speak up and be loud about this. We are watching as the religion of Revelation chapter 13 is being formed right before us. We're seeing this happen, and we're not to sit back and go, oh, well, it's prophetic, it's going to happen anyway. It's our mission to stand against evil wherever and whenever we can, and it's our mission to speak up and correct the record whenever possible and do so in the spirit of love. I'm not saying what I'm saying today just because I want to prove how right I am and how wrong somebody else is. That's not what this is all about. But this is about us speaking up and correcting the record and bringing out the truth. You know, one thing I can tell you, when we do spiritual warfare, God honors it by seeing the lost saved. Nothing good happens when the church sits back and agrees with cultic or occultic ideas or religious ideas that do not match the gospel. You know, it's scripture and scripture alone. As a friend of mine says, Jan Markell says this all the time, just give us the gospel, no additives. And I add to that, no subtractions, no additions. Now, we've kind of gotten off here in our discussion because I felt like I needed to discuss and bring out some of the facts about what's happening, about Rick Warren and making any kind of an agreement with the leaders of Islam out in the LA area. And so this has taken up part of the program today. I plan to play an interview today that I thought was very pertinent to the topic of Bible translations. And hopefully we'll get on to that next week. But that's the way it goes when you do radio once a week and you're trying to bring out things that you believe are important for people to hear about. And, you know, I've always just decided to go where my heart goes. And this is something I felt like we just needed to speak about. So let me go back now. We're going to start revisiting the idea of Bible translations. And this is something I've written a long article about. You'll find it on my website. It's called Failure to Translate. Failure to Translate. Now, we put an article on the website, and I have put a much longer, more documented article inside of Take a Stand Journal number 5. That is the fifth journal we've done, Take a Stand Journal number 5, and that's available. You'll find a link to it on our homepage and also in the article, Failure to Translate. So go to the website, ericbarger.com, and find the article, Failure to Translate. There's lots of links in it. There's lots of information in it. You'll get a better understanding of this issue than I'll be able to give you in the next few minutes. But for the remainder of the program, I do want to talk to you about the problem in these so-called Muslim-friendly Bible translations. Well, let me reset the stage just a little bit. This is Eric Barger, and this is Take a Stand Radio. We're heard each week at the same time on these stations. You can find more about us at ericbarger.com. Encourage you to go there, ericbarger.com. Now, we're talking, of course, about Bible translations. That was the topic last week, and I said that this week I had what I thought was some very pertinent information to deal with and also an interview. I'll get some of that out to you this week, and then we'll go on to next week. I've got lots of notes. I think I have 17 pages of notes in my show prep this week, and that I know is way more than I'll ever use on the air. But let me kind of look through these things. As I stated last week, it's my task to report on the very troubling issue of erroneous Bible translations and how it relates to the topic of Islam that we've been dealing with here on Take a Stand Radio. We began then to report on the growing number of published reports that raise concern about the so-called Muslim-sensitive or Muslim-friendly Bible translations. I talked about the WorldNet Daily article from January 31st, 2012. The article was titled as such, "New Bible Yanks Father, Jesus as Son of God, Islam-Sensitive Project Ignites Controversy Online Petition." And the heart of this whole thing is with Wycliffe Bible Translators, with SIL, formerly known as the Summer Institute of Linguistics, and also the translation group Frontiers. Controversy is about the removal of God as Father and Jesus as Son or Son of God. And I gave some examples last week. There are between 30 and 40 different versions that these three groups have put out to Arabic and Turkish speakers that in some way take away the divinity of Christ or downplay the divinity of Christ in the Father-Son relationship, the so-called, as it's known, familial relationship between Jesus Christ and God. Now, the biggest outcry has been from some of the Christian leaders in Muslim countries who believe that some of the translators have run these new versions of the Bible in on them, and it's hurting their cause. And that's where the biggest outcry has been to these Muslim-friendly translations. And as I pointed out, this is just not a misunderstanding about the Arabic word Allah, which is the word for God. That's simply not the case. I believe that's a distraction to divert attention upon the critics instead of where it belongs. That's on the questionable translations of God's word and those who have participated in making those translations possible or available. The concern of the translators is that the phrase Son of God infers that God physically, sexually impregnated Mary. However, as I pointed out in my article online, and also I believe in last week's show I said this, you know, you could say that about in any culture. The truth that Muslims must be brought to an awareness of who Jesus is, that the Jesus of the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible, is so paramount here. Muslims have to understand that Allah, the Arabic word for God, doesn't refer to Jehovah God. Now, I know an Arabic speaker could use that term, and it would be a legal term, if you will, to talk about Jehovah, but we've got to make distinct differences between the two. There's got to be distinct teaching about it. The specific problem in dealing with those in Islamic backgrounds is that the Quran speaks of Jesus 97 times, but the Quran clearly never deifies Jesus. And translations that leave the reader to imagine that somehow the prophet Isa of the Quran is the same as the Jesus Christ, Yeshua of the Bible, are unimaginably destructive no matter who from Christianity or from Islam may be promoting these, because they do not declare the absolute deity of Jesus Christ and the absolute bankruptcy of the Islamic Isa. And I personally wonder how many of those involved at Wycliffe or SIL or Frontiers or any of the other translators out there, I wonder if they understand that the Quran speaks about the Isa or Jesus of the Quran somehow someday becoming an enforcer for Muhammad, that he would come to earth and he would literally force people to turn to Islam. That's what the Quran states about the Islamic Isa or the Islamic Jesus. I also reported there seems to be a conflict between what the Wycliffe blog and the Wycliffe website, in particular the page that talks about their translation standards, says about whether they would ever do the very things that has been reported that they have done. And I won't go back and read all that again, but I do have that in our article, Failure to Translate, at ericbarger.com. And again, a lot more documentation, a much larger article in the Take a Stand Journal that can be yours if you'd like to have a copy of that. Just go to our website and you'll be able to get a copy of it. I made the statement last week as well that if emergent philosophy has captured some of our churches, even entire denominational leaderships, what would make us think that organizations in Bible translation, for example, or any other parachurch organization haven't been also infected and affected by emergent and postmodern thought? Certainly this is the case, and certainly this is exactly what's happened. Well, it's interesting. I feel like I've been right where I am right now last week at this same time, but we didn't anticipate stopping to talk about the whole Saddleback Rick Warren Islam issue as we have in this program for the first half of the program. But, you know, you just can't talk about this Bible translation issue without giving some detail and some background. I'll give a little of that again next week, and then we're going to forge right ahead because I have uncovered something that I think is really a key in understanding how this could have taken place, how Bible translations by these reputable translators could have began to take phrases like God the Father and God the Son out of the scriptures, all to be more friendly, if you will, to Muslims. And so we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about the encroachment of postmodernism into these organizations and hopefully give you some solutions at the same time. Well, if you just tuned in, this is Eric Barger. This is Take a Stand Radio. We're here each week at this time. You can go back and listen to all of our previous broadcasts by going to our website. I have them all listed there. They're all archived at our website at ericbarger.com. We're also on iTunes, and you can subscribe to our RSS feed that way and be able to get our podcast delivered to your telephone or to whatever device you listen to podcasts with or audios with. I appreciate you being with me. We've been talking about Chrislam the last couple of weeks, talking about Islam. These are obviously hot topics, topics that a lot of folks are talking about. We hear others on radio and television talking about it. I've been interviewed quite a bit by others over the last few weeks dealing with these issues. And I've put together a DVD teaching called The Deception of Chrislam that will really help you to understand this issue and includes nearly an hour of details and quotes and facts and understanding from the Bible and what the Bible states and what the Quran states about this topic. And the major point, of course, is that the Muslim God Allah is not the God of the Bible. That is really the key to the whole thing. If you don't know what Chrislam is, it's going to be coming at us again this year. There are people out there who are pushing this idea, and you need to be aware. I also have a companion DVD on Islam called The Truth About Islam. These DVDs are about an hour in length each, have lots of visuals in them. It's me teaching before a live audience. They're not documentary style. It's my teaching that I would give in churches and conferences. These are $16 each plus shipping, and if you want the audio CD, those are $7 each. And of course, you can get all that at ericbarger.com, or you can call us at 214-289-5244, which is primarily an answer machine or a voicemail service, but I will call you back, or somebody from our office will call you back and be glad to take your order and be able to deal with whatever your questions might be. Of course, our site is safe and secure. You can order at ericbarger.com in our web store and not have to worry about your information being compromised. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a spot in the program where I remind you each week that we need your help. We need you to pray for us. We need you to stand with us. We need you to get involved in this new Nehemiah 52 project that we've got going. We need 100 people to help us with Nehemiah 52. 100 people that'll give $52 a month to see our ministry succeed, to see us expand to an hour format instead of the half hour format, and even reach more people for the glory of God. This is the kind of message we need for the day that we live in today. There's no doubt about that. And it's time for all of us to move together and to take a stand. Well, this ministry is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas, and is funded by the gifts of our friends and our supporters. Thanks so much for helping us to do what we need to do to reach the lost while we still have time. I'll talk to you again next week. Tell a friend about us. Go to our website. We'll see you soon. Thanks again.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.